Our scripture reading this morning will come from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from John 6, verses 1 through 15, which is found on page 973 of your pew Bibles. It is a familiar story, the feeding of the 5,000, a story that is found in all four of the gospel narratives in the New Testament, but this morning we'll be reading John's version of that story. And again, it is found on page 973 of your Bible, so let us at this time listen to God's word for us. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. And Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. And when he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test them, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up. And from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." And when Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. It's the word of the Lord. If you're like me, one of the things you look forward to every here at Olney Presbyterian Church every so often is what I like to call Bread Day. That's the day when the barbers, I believe, bring all that wonderful bread from one of the local stores, bread of every kind, cakes and pies and rolls and donuts and bagels, and every sort of bread. I had some, a couple of months ago, some what was called, I think, Irish soda bread. I never had that before, but boy, that's good. And so every time they bring the bread, I'm always going through looking for some Irish soda bread. But the point is that it's a super abundance of bread. Bread's all over the place. There's bagels, and not only do we avail ourselves of that bread, but the Bible Church that comes in after us, they too avail themselves of the bread, and it's just a super abundance. And it reminds me of the way things will be in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, when there is enough for everybody, not just enough for everybody, but more than enough. And that's the way it is with Jesus, too. The bread reminds me of Jesus, because Jesus, if you've ever noticed, whenever he is around, there is always more than enough. There's always more than enough to go around. There's always enough healing. There's always enough forgiveness. There's always enough acceptance. There's always enough wine. There's always enough for whatever people need. Whenever Jesus is around, there is enough. And that's certainly true in our text this morning. Crowds have been following Jesus. In part, they have been following him because they have seen the signs and wonders that he has wrought in their midst. They have seen the healing. They have seen how he forgives. They have seen how he cast out demons. They have seen his grace operative in their midst. And so they have been following him. And the text tells us that he retires to a mountain on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, but the multitudes have followed him there too. And Jesus sees them coming, and he turns to his disciples and he says, you know, where in the world are we going to find enough food to feed all of these people? We are told that Jesus says this in order to test his disciples. And I think that all of them would make good elders because they respond in, you know, reasonable, practical ways. You know, what do you mean, Jesus? Where are we going to get enough to feed all of these people? There's just not enough. It's not enough. Not enough in the budget. Not enough money. We don't have enough money. There's not enough to feed all of these people, 5,000 people coming. There's just not enough. All we've managed to muster up, a few loaves and a few fish. I suspect that we all know something about not having enough. There are times when we all feel a little deficient. There are times when we want to give. We want to give more, but there is not enough. I know people who want to give more time. They wish they could give more time to their family, more time to the church, more time to do the things that they want to do, but there's just not enough time. For some people, it's not a matter of time. It's just energy. I talk to a lot of people around here, and they wish that they could give more, but they just don't have the energy after they go to work. They are tired, and they don't have enough energy to give to their family, enough energy to give to the community. They just don't have enough. And some of us, too, of course, in terms of our relationships, sometimes we look deep down inside of ourselves, and we determine for whatever reason that maybe we don't have enough. Maybe there's not enough in our heart to sustain a relationship. Sometimes there's just not enough. I remember in seminary having a friend who was had all the markings of a very promising pastor. He was, you know, brilliant. He was an excellent preacher. He was very charismatic and charming and engaging, and just had all the wonderful marks of a good preacher. But then I remember running into him about a year or two after we graduated, and he was going back to school to get his PhD. And I asked him, you know, why he was no longer in the pastorate, and he said, you know, the parish life, it's just not for me. I said, why? What's wrong? And he said, I just recognized that I didn't have enough. Didn't have enough empathy, didn't have enough patience, didn't have enough compassion. I just didn't have enough. And it's true for all of us if we try to do anything on our own. On our own, we never have enough. But wherever Jesus is, there's always enough. Wherever Jesus is, there's more than enough. Jesus takes the little bit that we have, and he uses that. And there's always enough, more than enough, wherever Jesus is. And it's certainly true in our text this morning. Jesus, when he gets finished with the crowd, when he gets finished with the five barley loaves and the few fish, when he gets finished, not only has everyone taken their fill, But we are reminded that there is enough food that is left over. 12 baskets full of food that has been left over. I often wondered what Jesus did with all that leftover food. Did he send it with everyone home in a doggy bag? That's what we do whenever we have dinner here at the church, a barbecue, or some kind of outing. You know, we've got enough left over. We give people doggy bags. One of the advantages of being a pastor, especially sometimes a single pastor, is people feel sorry for you, and so they insist that you take a doggy bag. Here, pastor, here's a doggy bag, you know. And maybe that's what Jesus did with the 12 bags, baskets of food. Maybe he gave a basket to each of his disciples. There are 12 disciples. He had 12 baskets of food. Maybe he gave them all a basket just to make a point. And the point that he was trying to make to them is that wherever he is, there's always enough. There's enough. Enough of what we need. Enough to sustain us. There's not only enough, but there's more than enough. I heard on the radio yesterday, day before yesterday, something that caught my attention, because we are reminded that, you know, God is an extravagant God. God is a wondrously profligate God who gives us what we need, and more than what we need. God is a gracious God of superabundance. But I heard something on the radio, and it was scientists who were excited because they, you know, believed that they had discovered water on Mars, deep below one of the polar ice caps. You know, they believe they had detected a lake of water. And it was pretty exciting because, you know, water is, you know, associated with life, though the scientists acknowledged that the water on Mars was, you know, probably not enough to sustain any life, at least life as we know it. And indeed, if you've ever seen those pictures of Mars, you know, it's a pretty sparse looking place. You know, there's nothing there but, you know, rocks and dust and mountains, certainly not a whole lot to sustain life. And it seems to be pretty much the case throughout our solar system, at least. You know, there's nothing there pretty much that would sustain life. The only place where we know for sure that there's life is on this little blue planet called Earth. And when you zoom into this Earth, what you discover is that there's enough. There's enough. That God, in God's great creative activity, doesn't just create a little bit, but God is abundant in what God creates. God creates every kind of a bird in the air. God creates every kind of fish in the sea. God creates every kind of creeping thing, every kind of tree, every kind of plant, every kind of mammal. There's just enough, more than enough. God has created things that we haven't even seen yet. We can't even begin to fathom the depths of the sea. We can't even know as of yet all the birds that God has created. God is a wonderfully super abundant God who has given us not only what we need, but more than what we need. There's enough. We're reminded that there's enough, not only enough, but more than enough. And that's the way that God treats God's people. God always gives us what we need. God always gives us enough. And not only enough, but more than that. We recall reading the story of the Exodus, when the Israelites are set free from Egypt and they begin their trek along the wilderness. And it's, you know, desert and it looks like death. It kind of looks like Mars. There's nothing in the wilderness. And the people begin to complain. Where's the food? Where's the water? Where's what we need to sustain ourselves? And God gives them what they need. God gives them manna from heaven and quail. And they have enough of what they need. And God gives them instructions only to go out and collect what they need for that day. but they go out and they try to hoard more for themselves in order to fortify their lives against the future. And the superabundance of what they collect begins to rot, because God wants them to live by faith, and God wants them to know that God provides for them, that he gives them enough, and not only enough, but more than what they need. And that is what we need to be reminded of as well, that wherever the Spirit of God is operating, wherever the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ is operating, there's always enough, because God is a God of extravagant superabundance. Now you're probably saying to yourself, what in the world are you talking about? Superabundance, that's not my experience with the world. Many of us don't experience the world in that way. We don't experience a world of God's super extravagant abundance. And that's because usually what we have allowed to happen is that we've allowed our hearts and our minds to be captured by what one theologian called a theology of scarcity. A theology of scarcity, of course, is a theology that says that there is not enough. And we remember the words of the snake in the wilderness the garden with Adam and Eve, telling them that they could not trust God. And that's what a theology of scarcity tells us today. You should not trust God. There's not enough. There's not enough to go around. There's not enough to give people all the good things in life. There's not enough. There's not enough water. There's not enough bread. There's not enough shelter. There's not enough to give people what they need. There's not enough. No, there's not enough. And so if you have a few fish and a few loaves, or if you have a lot of fish and a lot of loaves, you're best to hold on to what you have and to hoard what you have, because there's not enough. Not enough to go around. But we're reminded that wherever Jesus is, there's enough. There's enough for all of us. There's enough to go around. Wherever the Spirit of God is, we don't have to hoard in order to fortify ourselves against the future. We don't have to just be concerned about ourselves and about our own families, or about our own community, or about our own country. We are free to be generous, because we know that God has provided for us, that God will provide, that there's enough and more than enough. We're free to be giving and loving and generous people, because God is a wonderfully profligate, wonderfully super abundant God who has given us enough, who has made for us enough, more than enough for what we need. I was reading this text and just moved by how much we sometimes doubt that our hands are in the hands of a loving God. How much we often doubt that God will give us what we need, not just as individuals, but as churches as well. Sometimes we don't trust that there's enough. Sometimes we are so moved by a spirit of consumerism that we give most of our energies of going out and trying to secure more for ourselves, going out and trying to get more and more. Gotta have more stuff. Gotta have more clothes. Gotta have more food. Gotta have more CDs or whatever it is they listen to. Gotta have more of the good things, because we never know when there will be enough. We don't believe that there will be enough. And so we constantly give our lives to getting things and consuming things. But we're reminded that there is, for all of us, more than enough. More than enough of what we need. And not just enough of material things. Yes, God gives us material things, and material things are important. Jesus gives people the material things that they need. He gives them health care. He gives them food. He attends to their physical ailments. He gives them what they need. But it's not just the physical things that God, that Jesus brings us, but it's also those spiritual things that we need. Those spiritual things that we have a deep, deep longing for. There's enough love because God loves us more than we can even begin to imagine. There's enough joy because God wants us to have joy. He wants us to be people of joy. There's enough joy in the world. We can't see that. Our hearts and our imaginations, again, have been taken over by mean-spiritedness, by a spirit of scarcity. And a spirit of scarcity always makes us mean and turned in on ourselves. But there's more joy, enough joy out there for all of us. There's enough hope. There is enough forgiveness. There is enough of all of those wonderful things that God wants to lavish upon us. All we have to do is turn our hearts and minds to the God who holds all of our lives in His hands, because God wants us to know that there is enough. He wants us to know that He has provided everything for us with His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus has given us everything. And so we don't have to be afraid anymore. We can follow Him, just as those early crowds were following Him, because He wants to give us what we need in order to sustain our lives. Friends, there's enough. There's enough for all of us. There's enough. There's enough for our neighbors. We don't have to be tight-fisted to our neighbors. There's enough for our friends. There's enough for our families. There's enough for people across our borders. There's enough for the whole world. There's enough for all of us, because that's the kind of God that God is. God is a God who has created a superabundance for all of us. And one day, that superabundance will prevail, just as it prevails on those bread Sundays, those bread days, when all of that bread is brought here to this place and is distributed on tables for all of us to pick what we want and what we need. There's enough for all of us, enough life for all of us, because that's what God desires for each and every one of us. God desires that we have life, and that we all have that life in abundance. Let's pray. Gracious God, You have created for us an abundant world, a world where there is wonderful abundance. We have made Your good world out of a place of scarcity because of our greed, because of our fear, because of our insecurities, because of our selfishness, because of our hoarding. We have made Your abundant world out of a place of scarcity. But You have reminded us that our fears and our greed and our scarcity is not the last word. The last word belongs to You. The last word belongs to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The last word is Your desire that we have life in its fullness, in all the abundance, that you, in your graciousness, desires to give each and every one of us. And so we pray, Lord, that you help us. Help us to be people who put our faith and trust in your gracious, extravagant, overflowing abundance. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.